They kill each other. For example, twin sisters, one sister shot the other one, simply saying that I simply hate her because she got all the good stuff and so on. Or a husband killing a wife, husband killing an estranged wife killing a husband, and so forth, back and forth. I have a large collection of these cases. Now, this is one contrast. Why is that? That's because that in the American family, one that this family circle is so very small, it affects the individual so much more. Whereas in the Chinese family, there are many other individuals that come in to relieve the pressure on the individual. And this plus the fact that the Chinese are less emotionally intense and the Americans are emotionally more intense, therefore here there tend to be greater explosions than over there. And if you consider the number of problems that actually occur in a Chinese family, you will really marvel at the relative lack of crimes against the family members. Now the second line of evidence is in America, there's this adolescent rebellion. In China, you don't find this adolescent rebellion. You find lots of other kind of trouble. There are lots of other things going on. But you don't find this particular kind of thing. Now, in the United States, if you look over crime statistics, you find that juveniles from 16 to 21 years of age do two things that are a distinction. One is that they commit more crimes than all other age groups. For example, juveniles from 16 to 21 commit more crimes than between 22 and 27 and between 28 and 32 and so on. They commit more crimes than all those other age groups. In second place, American juveniles between 16 and 21 commit more serious crimes, major crimes, indictable crimes, than minor offenses. Chinese juveniles, I have studied the best years of the Nationalist Administration, that is between 1929 and 1937, and these statistics come from Shanghai, Tianjin, Hangzhou, Peking, all the great cities, and the cities present a uniform picture in terms of this crime. The Chinese juvenile crime picture is just the reverse, except that in the case of the Chinese, the 13 to 20, the United States, that we looked at is 16 to 21. And that is, the Chinese juveniles of this age bracket commit less crimes than all other age brackets except those individuals over 55. And in the second place, the Chinese juveniles commit more minor offenses than major offenses. Just the reverse. And you ask any Chinese parent, and ask him if there's a rebellion. Usually, the children are taken for granted. But the children are taken for granted, and they don't have this sense of rebellion. The parents do not express this particular period of difficulty during adolescence. And in old China, there was not even the term adolescence. That period was simply not recognized. There is this absence of adolescent crisis because, to my view, because of two things, also immediately relevant to the above. Namely, one, that the parents have less control over the children, and they are less final. Therefore, there's less tendency for the children to rebel against them. And secondly, there is less emotional intensity on the part of the children to make the rebellion necessary. Now, if you are emotionally very intense, then you tend to rebel more than if you are emotionally not so intense. Now, then in the United States, and a third thing, this individual insecurity has generated a serious competition, not only between males and between all males or between all females, but also generated a competition between male and female, between husband and wife in the United States. I see there's much more competition between the husband and wife than there is between a Chinese husband and wife even today. Now, that is why, for example, in the United States, the most progressive country in the world, the women still have a lot of inequalities. Now, they have inequalities, or the women have gotten their equalities only after serious struggles with the men. They, for every bit of the right that they get, they have to fight for it. On the other hand, in modern China, I have this. I do not only have my own testimony, but also the testimony of Dr. Irene Tauber, who is the secretary of the American Sociological Association. She made a tour with Notstein and several others in 1945 to the East, and she visited Indochina, Indonesia, China, Japan, Korea, and so on, these several countries. She said the one thing amazing about Chinese women is that the vast majority of, say, over 80% of the Chinese women, they are illiterate, live like they did before, but there are about 20% of the Chinese women who are educated. And for these Chinese educated Chinese women, they take equality for granted. There's no question of fighting for equality. All in one stroke, they have no fight, no sit-down strikes, no lockouts, no nothing, no posters, and so on. They have got all the equality that there isn't, so much so that they take it for granted. The professional Chinese woman is self-assured to a degree that is, she had not seen it the same among American professional women. Now, this, I would explain it on the basis that in China, the women have got their equality, the educated women got their equality, not because that they have deserved it or they have fought it, but because the men merely don't care to hold them down. They don't care to hold them down because the men do not feel insecure in face of female encroachment. The American men, on the other hand, feel that any upward development of the female is a personal threat to him. He feels a personal threat because he is less secure. Now, then in another line is that in the United States, the aging problem, the problem of the aging population has become very, very intense. Now, America definitely is a country for the young people. It's not a country for the older person. I have decided that when the time comes for me to retire, I'm going to go somewhere else. Now, the point is that here, the old have been, and if you look over the material standard of the older persons, the older persons have much better material standards than the Chinese older persons. But psychologically, the older persons are feeling it, feeling very, very insecure, very bad, and so on. For the simple reason that they have no place at all in the scheme of things. Therefore, the American older persons try to do one of two things. Either that they refuse to get old. They will, 75, they still go to the office and do all the strenuous things, perhaps even ride a motorcycle and make the headlines. Or that they will commiserate with one another and stay in one corner and be a useful tool, the best that they can, whenever the younger people have an emergency, and then very meticulously stay away from being a stumbling block of the in the way of happiness of the younger person. And in China, this is not a problem. The old take their aging as a matter of course. Everybody has got to die. Everybody's got to get old. Not so I'm getting old. Getting old means another status, having another type of importance. It usually means greater importance. So that the whole process goes from youth to old age, and it becomes rather natural. The old do not try to struggle to maintain their youth, because that's not maintainable. Sooner or later, we all have to die. Now, so these are some of the things. However, the American system also has a large number of good things. Now, I have you may think that I think that the American system is entirely on the, let's say, the unsatisfactory side. It also has many qualities that the Chinese family does not have. For example, the American family produces the individual that's essentially progressive. Now, of course, you may ask, progressive for what? You see, that's the question that we all like to ask. But certainly, in order, before we get to the stage of asking progressive for what, we have to get a progressive personality to go a certain length of road yet. And so the American family produces a personality, an individual, that essentially try to look forward. That if you do not like the things that are going on here, then you leave this place and then go to another place. And he wants to go to forge forward. He does not like to look back. Look back. On the other hand, the Chinese family generates an individual that tends to look more backward, tend to be more satisfied with the, tend to be more smug, let's say, tend less to be, to try to go forward. Now this is because of two things. Now, one is because that the family, the conception of Chinese family is one of continuation. So that during in any two generations, these two are the link, and then the next one, these two are the link. And the essential idea about the Chinese family is that there's this continuation of this lineage, both in this sense and in the also in the collateral sense. And you take this for granted. You have a definite place in there. So that if outside you fail, you can always come back to this. You see. In the American family, on the other hand, your failure or success is absolutely important. Your failure, it means so much failure on the just by yourself. The success, of course, is also for the self. But the greater the feeling for success, the greater the disaster when the failure does come. Now, but the American individual, therefore, tends to go forward and wants to do everything just by himself and want to get it absolutely right. The Chinese individual, on the other hand, he says, if I fail, there's still this to go on. It doesn't really matter so much. And that is why that in America, I would say, the technological advancements have gone to this extent, whereas in China, for the last 100 years, you find that Chinese don't combine very well. Americans combine much, much better. The different combinations fight, and the individual try to go to different, join different combinations. But Americans, when they are determined to do one thing, they have the emotional intensity to back it up, and then they just try to go forward. Whereas the Chinese lack the emotional intensity and the progressive drive to do this one thing, to go along one line. And now, then the last thing that I'm going to talk about is where do I think these two types of family systems are going to? That is, what will become of the American family and what will become of the Chinese family in modern, within the, say, this next 100 years. I would say that although the American family is dangerously being divorced out of existence, the trend is not as dangerous as some people try to think, or some people tend to think. Because for the vast majority of mankind, no matter what, you see, these contrasts are only slight inclination. There is no absolute difference between the Chinese individual and the American individual. It's only the Chinese tend to lean in one direction, the Americans lean over the other direction. But for the all mankind are very conservative. Human beings act, live in the world, in culture, in society, by conservatism. That is, we like the same old shoes. We like the same old kind of food. Even the way that we put our coat on, we always put our left arm in. We always do that. Next morning, if you try that, you you see what you do. If you are in the habit of putting this arm on first, you will always do that without thinking. Now that is the basis of all of our reactions, and in the matter of marital adjustment is also by reason of habituation. So that in America, for example, people who get married because of that thing called love, which I don't know what it is, it's still unknown quality to me. I have been told that when you are in love, you feel pleasantly doomed, and a number of other qualities. But anyhow, now you, in spite of the fact that you marry for love, but for the marriages to last is by habit. By habituation between the husband and wife to one another, so that the husband will like that kind of food that she alone can cook, or she alone can will know those little habits. Those are very important. The wife also does the same. Now, so that in spite of the fact that the American family has a increasing divorce rate, It will not be go out of existence. It will check itself for the simple reason that human beings are conservative, and our whole existence depend upon the basic habits, and the basic habits on top of the basic habits we build mores and then build customs and so on. We depend upon those, and it's not likely to go out of existence.